Now, okay, what have we been talking about? We've been talking about the book of Exodus. Oh, what happened? Okay, if you are familiar with these charts, we've been showing this since we started the book of Exodus. So the book of Exodus is actually the story of a believer's life. It starts when, you know, when we're in bondage, and when God delivered us from that bondage up to the present time or up to the sanctification process. And we've discussed about how God miraculously brought out the people of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. And that bondage represents the sins or the things that have hindered us from coming to God. Okay, it can be a sin, it can be an addiction, it can be anything. Anything that is separating you and God. And God called a man called Moses to deliver the people out of bondage. And when they crossed the Red Sea, they wandered into the wilderness or in the desert. And that's where the sanctification process begins or began. We've been talking about the Ten Commandments. We call it a perfect ten. There was this, you know, husband and wife. They were kind of arguing because the wife told the husband, you have to make sure that when you take off your clothes, you have to put it here. You have to make sure that when you eat and I'm not here, make sure you don't leave the dishes in the sink. Okay, make sure that you put your slippers here. Okay, make sure that, you know, if I'm not here, you vacuum the carpet, so on and so forth. So the husband started to complain. He said, you know what? Moses got 10 commandments. You have a lot of commandments. Okay, husbands, do you agree? Or it's just me again? Oh, it's just me. Okay. You know, talking of the 10 commandments or the perfect 10 is giving some sort of controversy sometimes in the Christian world. Because many Christians are saying that we are now under grace and we don't need to follow the 10 commandments. Okay? And Christians are saying, oh, you know, when you are born again, you have the liberty, you can do whatever you want. But come to think of it, why was the law given? The law was given not to save us. The Ten Commandments was not given for us to be saved. If you will note, the people of Israel were brought out of bondage before the Ten Commandments was given. That means the law or the Ten Commandments is applicable for those who have been saved. Why is that? Because the Ten Commandments aims to protect us. The Ten Commandments aims to guide us. It is a basis of how we are going to live our lives as Christians. The perfect law was given by our perfect God out of His perfect love. The Ten Commandments is perfect. It contains all the moral things that God expects of the Christians. However, because of our sinful nature, none of us can fulfill the Ten Commandments to the latter. Because according to James, if we fail in one law, we have missed everything. What is the significance then of the Ten Commandments? It is to guide us. Okay? It is for our personal well-being. It never aims to dictate, okay, what God wants to show us, but it tells us how holy God is. The Ten Commandments, this is the standard of God. And as I mentioned earlier, nobody or none is able to achieve this. Why? Because man is sinful and God is holy. Because of our sinful nature, we are apt to fail from the standard that God has set. And it also signifies that we always fall short of God's standard, no matter what we do. And because of that, it tells us that we need somebody, we need a Savior, in order for us to be justified before God. Amen? In Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, God Himself said, He told Moses, "So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite." If you will note, when God told Moses to deliver the people out of bondage, He instructed Moses to go because God needed a mouthpiece. God needed somebody to represent Him. However, the Bible says it was God Himself who delivered the people out of bondage. That means nobody, no religion, not even CCF, can save us from eternal damnation. Even if you go to church every day, that will not save you. We all need a Savior. And in Colossians chapter 1, 13 to 14, it reads, "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins." For He, who is He? He is the God. He's the God of Abraham. He's the God who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. And He said He was the one who delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of light. Amen? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." Who is the world? You and me. "That He gave His only begotten Son." In the Old Testament, they have the lamb. On the night of the Passover, they killed the lamb. They sprinkled the blood on the doorpost of their houses. And they had the dinner. They were waiting for the angel of death to pass by. And when the angel of death passes by and does not see the blood on the doorpost, the firstborn of that family dies. But if that angel of death see the blood, the angel of death will just pass over. There is no other salvation apart from Jesus, apart from the shed blood of the Lamb. So Jesus Christ died for you and for me. And when He died, He was buried. 1 Corinthians 15:3 to 6 says that He was buried. In fact, when He was buried, they sealed the tomb. They put guards so that nobody can steal His body, so that Jesus cannot escape. And at that time, the devil was so happy. The devil thought that he was a winner. The devil thought that he was triumphant. However, on the third day, the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit has raised Jesus from the dead. And that is our glorious hope. Because of that, we have our salvation. Because of that, we have hope. Because of that, we are freed from whatever bondage we are into. Because of that, your sickness has been healed. Because the Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus, you and me are healed. Amen? First Corinthians 11, 23 to 24 says, "For I receive from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way or in the same manner, he took the cup. Also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." So normally, every first Sunday of the month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And the Bible says that before we partake of the elements, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to examine ourselves. Is there any sin that we have kept in our hearts? Is there anything that we need to take up with the Lord? I was sharing with my Bible study group last Friday. We were talking about prayer. And one of the things that Jesus taught his disciples is the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others." Some of us may have or have been keeping some grudges in our hearts. Some of us may not have even forgiven people that have hurt us. I encourage you, surrender them to Jesus. Surrender them to God. Because the Bible is very clear that before you take or partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to examine ourselves. Just like David in the book of Psalms, he says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my thoughts." And it is my prayer that that will be our prayer to God. God, search my heart. Are there things in my life that I need to surrender to you? Are there things in my life that I need forgiveness? The Lord's Supper is for family members, meaning you have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning and you have not come to faith with Jesus, I would like to encourage you. I would like to encourage you to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. I've shared earlier that we all have sinned. You and I have sinned. There's nothing we can do. However, the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who created you and me, sent his only begotten Son to die in your place so that if we accept him, if we believe in him, the Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And I would like to invite you. There is a simple prayer that I'd like to share with you this morning. There is nothing fancy with this prayer. This prayer cannot save you. only Jesus can save you. But this prayer is our reaction, or this is our expression that we are accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The prayer goes something like this: God, thank you so much for loving me. I am so sorry for my sins. I acknowledge that I cannot save myself and I need a Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for all my sins. With your help, I will turn away from all my sins. Today, I trust in you to be my Lord and Savior, and I receive you into my heart. Thank you for forgiving my sins and for coming into my heart. I accept your free gift of eternal life. Thank you that one day I will go home to you in heaven. From this day on, I will follow and obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a simple prayer, but if you have prayed that sincerely coming from your heart, the Bible says, for as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become sons and children of God. You now belong to the family of God, and I will invite you to partake of the Lord's Supper. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for what you have done on the cross of Calvary. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I pray, dear Father, that you will put in remembrance, Lord God, that apart from you, we are nothing. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for the shed blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Thank you, Father God, for those of us who have some things in our hearts, Lord God, that is not pleasing to you. We ask for forgiveness. We ask, Lord God, that you will cleanse us, Lord, from all of our unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to invite everybody. As I mentioned earlier, that the discussion of the Ten Commandments has created some controversy in some of Christian or religious groups. And because of that, they always propagate that there's always liberty in Christ. Yes, there is liberty in Christ. But as I mentioned earlier, the Ten Commandments was not given to save us, but the Ten Commandments was given as a guide for our daily living. So why do we need to obey the Ten Commandments? Pastor Roy Song last Sunday shared that one of the reasons that we need to obey the Ten Commandments is we distinguish ourselves as God's people. Nowadays, sometimes you cannot distinguish a Christian for a non-Christian. Why? Because sometimes non-Christians think the way the world thinks. That's why the Bible says in Romans that we need to have a renewal of our minds. The second reason is it is a proof of our love towards God. And lastly, he mentioned that we become effective witness for Jesus. So these are the basic reasons why we need to obey the Ten Commandments. The topic for this morning is actually the continuation of Pastor Isong's message last Sunday. God is number one. Who is the number one person in your life? My wife? My husband? Jesus or God should be number one in our lives. We will be talking about the third and fourth commandment. If you remember this chart that Pastor Isong mentioned last Sunday or showed last Sunday, there is nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with the house, nothing wrong with the car, nothing wrong with your spouse, children. There's nothing wrong. However, if these things separate God from us, then that's where the problem lies. I would like to add something into this chart. Sometimes it is not material things that separates us from God, but sometimes it is our intellect that separates us from God. And many people, because they know that they are intellectual, they know that their IQ is high, they made it their God. They made it their God. And that's very dangerous. Why? Because the Bible says that our minds should be subject to the Word of God. And anything that exalts itself, okay, the Bible says, is not good. So anything that separates us from God is called an idol. According to David Martin Lloyd-Jones, an idol is anything in our lives that occupies the place that should be occupied by God alone. Anything, be it small, be it big, be it singular, be it plural, anything that separates you between God is an idol. And he also mentioned that idolatry is adultery. Okay, so this morning, we have a sister who will be sharing her life testimony about how she put God as number one in her life. You know, sometimes it is difficult to give up some of our ambitions in life in exchange for God. But you know what? It's worth it when you put God number one in our lives. I'd like to call our sister, Sister Tina, to share with us a brief testimony of how God has changed her and how she has made God number one in her life. Sister Tina.
Maganda pong umaga sa inyong lahat. Good morning, in other words. thank you for having me at such short notice. Kaibigan ko po si Sister Mayi sa Philippines pa po. Sa CCF Manila po ako. And mahaba po ang story ng life ko eh. Can you hear me? Okay. English. Thank you. Sorry, ah. Kasi I seldom speak Tagalog anymore, so I thought this might be a chance for me to remember my roots. But the Lord is so good. The Lord gave me a family that's very musical. My mother was a piano teacher in her day, and she raised all of us seven kids around music. I love music. I love to sing. I sang since I was four. But there was something that kind of was always in the deepest bowels of my being. Mahiyain po ako eh. And the reason why was because I thought that I was a mistake. I thought that I was less than anybody else. I thought that I was ugly. I thought that I was too skinny. I had two big, huge front teeth. I had poor eyesight. I had bow legs. And I just thought, wow, all my classmates are so cool. They're so pretty. What's wrong with me? And so I tried very hard to prove myself worthy of acceptance. And I found that I could do it through my singing. And so all my life, I was just kind of hoping for that big break. And that break came in high school when the head of our kind of a singing group in the school discovered that I could sing. I was singing in secret in the piano room, and she heard me, and then I was discovered. And after that, things started to really work well for me. I gained the applause of men, and I loved it. I loved it when I heard, yay, Tina, yay, yay, yay. And that carried me through, okay? That carried me through. I still somehow felt kind of empty inside because I was always wondering, do they love me because of my voice only? Really, I really want someone to love me for who I am. And then I turned my attention to the opposite gender, and I thought, maybe I'll find someone who is going to love me for who I am, you know, a guy. And again, so I tried to have relationship after relationship. Didn't work. Just heartache. And then I came to the States. More heartache, because here now, that's another part of my story. I won't go into that. But there was always this hole in me that kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I ended up back in the Philippines in 87, and I started a singing career. And then I thought, wow, OPM, you know, I'm singing with Apo Hiking Society, you know, Gary Vee, you know, I was like, really, I was going to get up there. And then here was the big break of my career. Who have you heard about Miss Saigon? Miss Saigon, okay. I auditioned for Miss Saigon in 1989. I got a part. And it was about that time that I was really so sick of myself. Deep inside, I looked okay on the outside. Everybody thought, wow, you know, you're good, you're great, you're going to go up there, you're going to make it. But something inside me was like, no, there's something missing in my life. There's pieces of this story that I can't go into because it will make me stand here for a very long time. But to make a very long story a little bit shorter, while I was in the States, you know, in the mid-80s, I met a missionary who, I found out later, came from the Philippines, who met my dad and who actually got my dad to, you know, trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And this missionary came to the States, and my dad said, my daughter's there. You tell her what you told me. He and his wife came to me, told me about the gospel. Christ died for your sins because you cannot save yourself. I said, no, go away. So I rejected the gospel then. That was in 1986. 87, I went home. I went to this church that this missionary was talking about. His church was called CCF. And about that time that I got into Miss Saigon, there was a singles retreat at CCF. Singles, wow. Okay, maybe I'll meet Mr. Wright at the singles retreat. So that was my motive for going to that retreat. And this was just about after I got recruited to join Miss Saigon. And I went to that retreat, and lo and behold, what were they talking about? Holiness. Holiness is being separated unto God for his use, being sanctified for him. And they were talking about how Solomon had everything, but he messed up because he wasn't holy. They were talking about how you are the salt of the earth. And if you lose your saltiness, you will no longer be useful, but you will be fit for nothing but to be thrown on the ground and be trampled underfoot by men. And they were also talking about, oh, many will say to me, Lord, 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 didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? And the Lord would say, depart from me, you evildoers, I don't know you. And then this was the kicker that really got my attention. Hebrews 12:14 says, the first part says, pursue peace with all men. I can do that. I get along with everybody. But the second part just hit me between the eyes. It says, and be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I was so scared. When I heard that, I sat in my seat and I go, I'm going to hell. Because, you know, I was living a life of sin, pleasing no one really but myself. Who was I to think that glory to me? I have this great voice. Look at me. Aren't I great? Who was I to think that I could usurp the majesty that belongs only to the Lord? I knew that I was going to hell, so I sought help, I sought counsel, and guess who was there at that retreat? the same missionary that shared Christ with me the very first time. And I said, Craig, I need to talk to you. I think I'm in trouble. I'm going to hell. And he goes, oh, I'm so glad you came because I've been praying for you. So he sat me down with another elder of the church for 5 hours. And they told me things that I had never known that were in the Bible. And the thing that struck me the most was, what? Jesus loves me? How could he love someone like me? I'm so bad. I mean, you don't know me, but I really was. I was very bad. And so it amazed me that somebody would take the punishment for my sins, and even though he knew everything about me, he did not love me any less. That night, I went back to my room in the retreat place in Baguio. And that day in Baguio, it was raining all day. And for some reason, well, my bedroom was facing the window. For some reason, the rain stopped. And you know, when clouds go by, they go by in one direction. They just go this way, right? Right? Well, for some reason, the clouds, they open up this way. Like this. And I saw a very, 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 very tiny, tiny star. It was very far. And what occurred to me was, boy, if my eyes can see that star, the God who made that star and who made me can hear my tiny little voice. And so I prayed. I said, God, I've made a mess out of my life. I hate myself. But you love me. I don't get that, but you love me. And I found out today that you love me so much as if I was the only one to love. Will you forgive me for having messed up my life? And would you save me and take my life and make it yours and live through me and make me beautiful like you really want me to be, and use my voice. My voice is not mine. You gave it to me. And you gave it to me for a reason. So far, I've been using it to serve myself. Now, I want you to use it for your glory. The day that you see me using it for anything else but for you, please take it. I'd rather be dumb than sin against my God, who gave everything for me. I went and took a shower. And I tell you, as I was taking the shower and as the water was going down, I felt all my sins washed away. I knew, even though nobody had told me what these words meant, I knew I was born again. I was no longer the Tina that I used to be. For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Yet Christ lives in me. The life I now was going to live in the body, I would live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I became born again on May 14, 1989, but that was not the end of the story. It was just the beginning. And God continued to do a work in me. And you know, after that, I quit Miss Saigon. I quit all my gigs in the clubs that I was singing at. I tried to do everything right. I went to Bible study. I went to care group. I went to worship. I was just on fire. I loved the Word of God. I would read until the wee hours of the morning, and our chickens would start to crow, and I would be like, what? It's morning already. I'm not even finished yet, you know. And the day would start over again, and I was just so on fire. I was just so in love with Jesus. Have anybody here felt that way? My first love. I did find Mr. Right at that retreat. I did. And you know, his promise to me was, you know, I love you so much. I have loved you from everlasting to everlasting, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a God we serve. But you know what? It's so easy. It's so easy for us to creep back on that throne that belongs to God. Because very soon after that, I realized I was doing it all over again. Yeah, I was singing to a different crowd. I was singing a new song. But I was still like, wow, God, aren't I great? I'm serving you, huh? What do you think about that? He did not really, really care how much I was serving him, because in my heart, he could see I was still number one. God does not care so much what we do as much as he cares for us, ourselves. He said, I want you to love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Will you give me everything? He humbled me. For a while, I did not get any gigs singing in the ministry. I was quiet. He quieted me. He wanted me to get with him and see, who's really number one in your life? Are you going to cling to your ministry? Remember the promise I made him? The day you see me using this voice for anybody but myself, but you, please take the voice away. God did not take my voice away. He was so gracious. And I love to sing for the Lord. As that first hymn that I ever sang goes, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the queen of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Is Jesus number one in your lives? If not, make him. Praise God.
So is Jesus number one in your life? Are you sure? Are you sure? Okay, so let's continue. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Tina, for the things that you have done in her life. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you will continuously bless her. I pray, dear Father, that you will continuously use her to expand your kingdom. Thank you, Lord God, that at one point in time in her life, she made you number one. And I pray, Lord God, that even as she shares her life testimony to others, people will be encouraged to make you number one in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. God said, I am the Lord your God. He introduced himself to the people of Israel. He introduced himself to Moses. He's saying, I am the Lord your God. Okay? Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Second commandment, you shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven, above or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. The third commandment, which we are going to talk about this morning, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. What's in a name? What's in a name? You know, our names have meanings, right? Give me an example. Say your name is Joshua. Joshua means salvation. Okay? What other names do you know? Jabez. Okay, Jabez. What does Jabez mean? Jabez means sacrifice. Jabez means heartaches. Jabez means suffering. Okay, what other names? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Or probably the name is Lucifer. You laugh, but what does Lucifer mean? He's the star of the morning sun. Okay? In fact, Lucifer was a very beautiful name. But when disobedience, when rebellion crept into his life, what happened to him? He became the devil, or he became Satan. What's the meaning of your name? I know the meaning of my name. You want to know the meaning of my name? Okay, Reggie, cute and handsome. Okay. Oh, kaya niyo yun? You know what, when I was... Yeah, that's being humble. You know what, when I was in elementary, people called me with different names. Okay, my relatives, my parents, my titas, my uncles, they call me Japok. Why? Because I have a chinky eye. Really cute, you know. And they said that I look like a Japanese struggler. Okay, that's why they call me Japok. But in school, they call me Kalbo. You know what Kalbo is? For those of you who don't understand Kalbo, bald. Because I have very short hair, and they make fun at me. And you know what? It was really bad experience for me. You know, even from afar, they will call you, Kalbo, 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 come here. That was bad because people were wearing long hairs. And then every month, my parents would send me to the barber shop. And then when I will have my hair cut, I like that haircut, that, you know, the clean cut. But when I get home, oh no, that's still long. Go back to the barber shop. So I will have this really short hair just here. That's why people call me Kalbo. Okay, so I felt ashamed of myself when I was in elementary. Okay, usually when people call us with names, it's often, what, to ridicule us, right? You know, when you're working in certain companies, like when you are in a warehouse, when you work with drivers, when you work with, you know, laborers, they normally have different names for their colleagues. Right? Even in the offices, there's always a name. There's always a code. Okay? So, normally names are used to identify a person. But when we call other names, it is normally used to ridicule the person. And you know, names are actually just like prophesying to the person. Like for example, if your name is Micaiah, what does Micaiah mean? Micaiah means a source of joy. So whenever you call Micaiah, what happens? You are prophesying to that person that that person is going to be a source of joy and delight. Okay, now if your name is Samson, strong, you're prophesying to that person, hey, strong, come here. But if you name the person Jabez, what does Jabez? Jabez means what? Heartache. Okay, so names are very important. The Jewish people would always name their children on the basis of what they want to happen to that person. That's why for those of you who are going to give birth, okay, make sure you give a name That's good. A name that will prophesy the destiny of the person. I just don't understand when, you know, I think it started in the late 90s. Parents would give two or three names to their children. Right? So when the child goes to elementary, okay, the child, my gosh, my name is so long. Right? Oh my dad, why did my dad gave me this name? It's very long. What's the name? Procopio. Okay? So, you know, we're fond of giving names. And even when you apply, normally in the form it says, what's your first name? What's your second name? Pretty soon they will have another one, what's your third name? Okay? And then there's another one, what's your nickname? Okay? Names. Names are very important. Whenever people call us, we wanted people to call us by our name. Right? You know, you can always identify Filipinos when you go to other countries. Why? Because Filipinos are fond of psst, psst. Right? Even though we're used to it, but, you know, we wanted to be called by our name. So what's in a name? Names are very important. And with God, what's in a name? We give our names to our children. Because parents are people of authority who can give that name. But with God, we cannot give God other names. Because God revealed himself to us. Okay? And his character represents, and his name represents his character. We do not name God. God reveals his name to us. In fact, when Moses was in front of the burning bush, he asked God, who are you? What am I going to say to the children of Israel? And what did God say? I am who I am. When Saul was on his way to Damascus, what did he ask when he was going there? He said, Lord, who are you? And Jesus answered, I am Jesus, the one you persecute. What's in the name? Name is very important. God's name represents all that he is. That's why God's name is very important. Basics. I just want to share with you very briefly what are the names of God. We can see in the scripture the word El. El means the strong one. God is called an El, E-L, the strong one. And when you put it together with other description of God's character, you can call him as El Elyon, meaning the God Most High. He's also called Elohim. Elohim means the all-powerful ones. Now take note, nobody gave these names to God. Unlike in other religion, they give their names to God. But with God, he introduced or he gave us his name by introducing his character, by introducing who he is. Other religions would call it the God of the flies, the God of the river, the God of fertility. That's how they would introduce their gods. But with God, he himself introduced himself and he said, I am the name that I'm sharing with you this morning. He's also called El Olam, the eternal God or the everlasting God. He is also called the El Shaddai, the breasty one, God Almighty, all-sufficient God. He is also called the Jehovah. What is Jehovah? I am. The one who is the self-existent one. He is also called the Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. He is also called Jehovah Makadeshkem. He is Jehovah He's the God who sanctifies. He is called Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner of victory. He's also called Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha means the God who heals us. He is our great doctor. And you know what? If you are sick in your body, God can miraculously recreate your body if He wants to. Because He is our Jehovah Rapha. He is our Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi means He is our shepherd. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of armies. He is the Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. He is the Jehovah Shammah. This is what I like. Kashama Shama lagi siya. Okay? He is the Lord who's always there. He is our companion. Wherever you go, God is there. You cannot hide from Him. Even if you go to the depths of the ocean, even if you hide yourself down the well, God is there. He is our Jehovah Shammah. He is our Jehovah Tsedekenu. He is the Lord, our righteousness. And He said to Moses, when he introduced Himself, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the son of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I would like to call this the isness of God. What is the isness of God? Whatever your situation is right now, He is the solution. That's why you cannot put any name with God. Why? Because God is not bounded by time or space. God introduced Himself as the all-powerful. Our finite mind cannot even fathom or comprehend how great, how mighty, how awesome, how sovereign our God is. We just can't understand it. That's why us taking God's name in vain or substituting it for any other word, that is unfair. Why? We are limiting God. What does vain mean in the Hebrew? In Hebrew, it is called shava. Okay? It means desolating, evil, literally or morally wrong, figuratively, idolatry, so on and so forth. But I look up the verse that I read earlier in the Amplified Version, and I like how it says in the Amplified Version, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That is irreverently, in false affirmations, or in ways that impugn the character of God. For the Lord will not hold guiltless or leave unpunished the one who takes His name in vain. Taking God's name in vain is disregarding its reverence and its power. Using God's name in vain is trivializing His name by regarding it insignificant. The name of God nowadays are becoming a byword. A lot of people are saying it just for the sake of saying God's name. They don't understand what God's name means. I will share with you what are the common ways that we take God's name in vain. Insignificant purpose. Using the name of God lightly and carelessly. Also using God's name in vain. We take God's name in vain when we use His name flippantly. What does flippantly mean? We just say it for nothing. And what are the common things we say about God? Oh my God. Now we were convicted. OMG. Now to make it more social. Oh my gosh. Look at that. Right? And sometimes when we get nervous or when we're surprised, what happens? Oh my gosh. What are you doing? And sometimes when we curse somebody, what do we say? Jesus Right? Right? You hear people say that. Or sometimes they mention the family of Jesus. Do they say, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? Can you think of other names or usage that we use? Vainly use the name of God? I'm sure you've heard a lot of those, right? You know what? I'm guilty of that. Because we're used to it. We're used to it. Or it's just me. I know you guys don't say, oh my gosh. It's just me. I'm guilty as charged. But you know what? Every time we use God's name very lightly, the Bible says, what we read, God says, I will hold you guilty. Why is that? God's name is holy. Do we understand that? God's name is holy. And how dare we use that holy name very lightly? I remember when I was youth pastoring a certain church back in the Philippines. We have a huge basketball court in our church. And we would invite non-Christians to play with our youth. You know, when they were playing basketball, sometimes they will hurt each other, right? And you will hear of all of this profanity. They use the F word, they use the S word, they use the ABCDS word, whatever it is. And then when they realize that they're playing inside the church, because we've been sharing the word of God, it started to change. They don't use those ABCDEFG words anymore. But what do they say? When they curse each other, praise the Lord! It's the same! It's the same. You are still using the name of the Lord in vain. Why? Because we are dealing with a holy God. We are dealing with a perfect God. His name is perfect. You just cannot take the name of the Lord, our God, in vain. And sad to say, it's just okay with Christians. Why don't you curse the Allah of the Muslims? You will walk carrying your head. Why are we Christians? It's just okay. And we even participate in making the name of the Lord our God in vain. Okay, you guys are so quiet. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Second, personal motives. By rash swearing, mentioning the name of God, or any of his attributes in the form of an oath without any just occasion for it, to no good purpose or to no good. By covenant breaking, if we make promises to God and perform not to the Lord our vows, we take his name in vain. God's name in a manipulative way. What are some of the things that we do when we manipulate God's name? You know, Peter, God told me that you're going to have lunch this afternoon. You know, and this is happening in some churches. You know, Sister Tess, God told me that you're going to be give $1,000 today. We manipulate people in the name of God. I'm sure you've heard that, right? Or it's just me. I've heard people say, you know what? I have a dream. It's not Martin Luther King. I have a dream. God told me that you will be my wife. I believe in the office of the prophets. I believe in prophetic giftings. But you know what? The office of the prophet is being abused by many churches. By what? Manipulating people. God told me. God told me that you're going to be my husband. God told me that you're going to give your house and lot to me. We manipulate people. And what else? What other things we do to put the name of our God in vain? We swear. Cross my heart. I promise. Okay? Cross my heart. I will pay my debt. Cross my heart. We will say, God is my witness. Or in some churches where they recognize same-sex marriage, they married people in the name of God. That is totally wrong. Right? Are you guys still awake?
Yes.
Look at the person next to you. Hey, wake up. Do you still love me? Do you still love me?
Yes.
We're all guilty. Right? For they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. That's in Psalms 139, verse 20. Leviticus 19:17 says, you shall not swear falsely by the name, so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. God is reminding us not to use his name to swear. Why? Because I am the Lord. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath, as all either by heaven, or it is in the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes or no. Anything beyond this is of evil. So even in their days, they used the name of God to what? To swear an oath. Okay, the Bible says, just say yes. Just say no. Okay? Are you still here with me? Third one. We misrepresent God, making profession of God's name, but not living up to that profession. I will give you an example. In 1990, there was this beautiful girl. This beautiful girl decided to take my name. in the altar before God to take my name, Hernandez. She decided to be Hernandez. When we got born again, we decided to take the name of God in our lives. That's why we are called Christians. And as Christians, how do we take the name of God in vain? Sometimes we misrepresent God. We misrepresent God. We will steal paper clips in the office and profess to be a Christian. We do sloppy work at work in the office and still profess to be a Christian. What else do we do? Oh, it's April. Tax preparation. Can you add this to the expense? Can you add this to the expense? We tell our accountant, can you add this? Can you add that? And then the accountant says, tithes. Oh, what's this tithes? You know, I'm a Christian. Many people misrepresent Christ. Don't you know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Christ. First and foremost, before you become a student, you are a Christian. First and foremost, before you become an employee, you are a Christian. You represent Christ whenever you do your tax preparation. You represent Christ in the workplace. You represent Christ in school. You represent Christ in your family. Therefore, be an ambassador of Christ. Amen? Do you still love me? Matthew says, let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. One time, a missionary in India named Stanley Jones had an encounter with Mahatma Gandhi. And you know what? A lot of Mahatma's writings are actually lifted from the book of Proverbs. And he asked Mahatma Gandhi, hey, Mr. Gandhi, why is it that, you know, you've been reading our Bible and why don't you become a follower of Jesus? Good question, right? Because he's been reading the scriptures and, you know, Mahatma Gandhi already know about Jesus. And you know what? This is what he said. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Ouch. And this is the very reason why many of us are not able to bring people to Christ. And sometimes this is the very reason why we are not able to bring our relatives to Christ. Why? Because they know that we are just like them. Ouch, ako lang ata yun. Just me. Right? Let your light so shine before men so that they will see your good works and glorify God in their lives. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him, what does it say? Unpunished, who takes his name in vain. This is a warning for each and every one of us. Guys, We can choose our sin, but we cannot choose the consequence. For everything that we do, there corresponds the consequence. So this is a warning. Let's not take the name of God lightly. Why? Because God's name is holy. And what should be our attitude towards God's name? We need to revere. We need to honor God's name. There are two things. Number one, we need to revere God's name. How do we revere God's name? We worship God. When we mention God's name, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, "Pray then this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." What does hallowed mean? Hallowed means we worship. Worship is our response to the holiness of God. We make God's name holy. Worship comes in many forms. You can worship God by singing, which is very common. That's why the Bible says that when we worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we worship Him with our whole being. That's why when we worship Him, when we enter into that court, that holy of holies, we invite the presence of God. When we worship Him, we lift our hands to Him. No matter what your situation is, you worship God's name. Even if you are sick in your body, you can still worship God and say, "God, you are my Jehovah Rapha." Even if you are faced with the foreclosure of your house, you can still worship Him. "God, you are my Jehovah Jireh." Even if you are troubled, you can still worship Him. "God, you are my Jehovah Shalom. And I prostrate before your throne. I worship you." When you pray, say this, "Our Father, hallowed be your name." Oftentimes when we pray, we just go into the courtroom of God and says, "Lord, I need this, I need this, I need that." And we fail to worship Him. Worship is very important. Not only in singing. If you want to make a poem to worship God, do so. Who is God? God said, "I am who I am." Whatever situation we are going through right now, worship Him on the basis of your situation. And you will see that your situation will turn the other way around. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone works wonders, and blessed be His glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. For from the rising of the sun, Habakkuk 1:11, even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nation, says the Lord of hosts. I will vindicate, God says in Ezekiel 36, verse 23, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. Second, how do we respond to the holiness of God? How do we respond to the holiness of His name? We represent Him. First, we are Christians. We carry the name of Christ. We need to represent Him well. I would like to ask this favor to all of us. If we cannot represent Christ in our workplace, please don't tell them that you are a Christian. If you keep on saying, "Oh my gosh," but actually, what is the original? "Oh my God," please don't tell them you're a Christian. Tell them that you are an atheist. We represent Christ. Represent Him well. We are His ambassadors. We are His ambassadors. You represent Christ when you do your taxes. You represent Christ when you write that contract. We are Christians first before anything else. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Jesus did all of these things. I realize that we can never be perfect. Sometimes you will have a slip of the tongue. You say something. Sometimes you stumble and you do things that are not right. The Bible says no one is perfect. But the Bible says, Jesus did it all. For this reason, also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. Jesus was so humble that He even volunteered to die in your place. You know what? He can even invoke Himself as being God. But what? In humility, He went to the cross. And because of that, Philippians 2 verse 9 says, God highly exalted Him, the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. At the mention of His name, as I call our music team on stage, as we mention that name, we need to worship that name. That is the name of Jesus. Philippians says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean that every knee will bow? What is your situation right now? That situation will bow down in the name of Jesus. Do you have insomnia this morning? The Bible says that that insomnia will bow down in Jesus' name. Are you sick in your bodies right now? What's the name of that sickness? Is it a cancer? Is it tuberculosis? Whatever that sickness is, that sickness will bow its knees in the name of Jesus. I did not say that. The Word of God said that. So at the mention of His name, we are to revere it. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. That's why when we worship God, what? We worship God with all our might, with all our strength. He is God. He's the most powerful God. He's our sovereign God. He created the heavens and the earth. Can He not meet your needs this morning? Just at the mention of His name, all demons will bow down. So I want to invite every one of us to please stand up. Let's worship God. Let us declare the greatness of our God. God is great. God is holy. So let's participate in worshiping God this morning. Let's enter into the throne room of the Father and worship Him for who He is. Declare with our mouth the greatness of our God. So whatever situation you are in right now, it is my prayer, it is my desire that that situation will bow down in Jesus' name.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Worship God.
Age to age He stands, and time is in His hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God.
Declare the name above all names,
name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
Say it one more time. Name above all names. Cause you're the name above all names.
Worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
I want you to declare, how great is our God.
How great with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Lift up the name above all names, how great
is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
How great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Do you believe God is great? Do you believe that God is great? Give Him your best clap offering this morning. Is that your best? Give Him your best love offering. He is God, He is great, and He is worthy of all our praises. Father, we thank You for Your greatness. Thank You for Your words this morning. I pray, dear Father God, that Your words will be seeds that will grow in our hearts. And as we go home, Lord, I pray for Your traveling mercies to be upon each and every one of us. Lord, thank You so much. We worship You. We honor You. We glorify You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay. You are dismissed this morning.